Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel. We have a wonderful discussion about an amazing production that began streaming last night. It's Wham Theater's latest. It's a reading of a new play, The Light, by Loy Webb. It's directed by Colette Robert, and it is available to stream now through May 2nd. In the play, a surprise proposal gift puts the future of Genesis and Rashad's relationship at risk when they are forced to confront a devastating secret from the past. It is a 70-minute real-time roller coaster ride of laughter, romance, and despair that uncovers how the power of radical love can be a healing beacon of light. The Light was playwright Loy Webb's first play, and it is a great pleasure to welcome Loy Webb to the roundtable this morning. Loy, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you all so much for having me. I'm excited about being able to talk with you all today.
What a great pleasure. And Wham Theater's artistic director, our dear friend, Kristen Van Genhoven, joins us this morning. Kristen, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having us on.
Real pleasure to have you on the program. So, Kristen, what brought you to this particular work? And then we'll talk to Loy about it.
Oh, yes. I'm so excited for you to hear from Loy about this extraordinary play. Well, actually, I heard about this play from another guest of WAMC, Jean-Remy Monet, who runs the Black Theater Troupe of upstate New York, watched a reading of it last year and emailed me and was like, I think you would love this play. And I read it and I was, I totally fell in. It was one of those plays that gives you goosebumps and does all of the things that one hopes a play will do. And then shared it, you know, with my associate artistic director, Talia Kingston. And we feel so humbled and honored and lucky that Loy said yes to giving us the rights to do a reading of it right now. It's truly an extraordinary play.
So, Loy, what brought you to this play initially? Give us a sense of the backstory.
Yeah, sure. For me, what birthed this play was basically I admired an actor so much. And what I loved about this particular actor was he was the type of actor that said, I wouldn't take a role if it put African-Americans in a bad light. And I was like, wow, like I really wish there were more actors out there like that. And I remember he had a film that he was working on and it won at a big festival and stuff like that. And I was excited about it coming to theaters. And then at the time when it was about to come to theaters for everyone, allegations came out that he had sexually assaulted a young woman while he was in college. And I remember at the time people were going back and forth about whether or not we should support the film. And this was in 2016. And I remember trying to figure out where I stood. And I was like, I really wish I could hear from the young lady. Not that I didn't believe the allegations, but I just wanted to hear the young lady's side of the story. And I remember her brother came forward and said that she had taken her life 5 years earlier because she was still dealing with the traumatic effects of that particular assault. And I remember it was like October 2016. I had went to the theater to see Southside With You, which is the Barack and Michelle love story. And a trailer for that particular film came on. And I sat in the theater and I started crying. I cried for the young lady and her death. I cried because of my confusion about the feelings I was having towards that particular actor in the situation. And I said, I can't support the film, but what I can do is write about my feelings about what I'm feeling right now. And that's how the play was birthed.
So let's explore that for a moment. I assume your feelings may vary, but it is very visceral, isn't it? I mean, of how people come to terms with these things. I think many of us who care about such issues are, let me try to articulate this. But you want to do what you feel is right. You want to do what you think is right, and then you want to do what you feel other people think is right. Does that make sense? So how do you do all that?
I feel like for me, what I try to do in crafting the play was to give every argument a fair chance and to see where the audience stood on the other side of it for themselves, to let them decide where they stand. How I did that was I was listening very non-judgmentally to both sides of the argument. I remember very early on, a friend of mine who's also a writer, and he heard an early draft, and he said, you know, this is very female heavy. I wish that you could give the man a shot, a fair shot at this particular argument. And I said, you know what? I'm going to give him the fairest shot I can give him by trying to listen to all sides of the argument and take all those things into consideration and see where the audience stands at the end of this particular play. And so I just tried to create three-dimensional characters with arguments from all sides and let the audience decide at the end where they stand on this particular side of the issue.
And I assume this hits close to home, Kristen, because you've got to be dealing with this all the time. And I mean, you do a lot of new work at WHAM, but in doing anything that's been around for a while, you have to deal with this.
Yeah, I mean, I think what sets this play apart is the characters that Loy is telling the story through. And those two characters, we are rooting this beautiful couple. You know, the play starts with a proposal, a surprise proposal. We're right away, you know, it's just this ordinary couple who are in love, who are having a surprise proposal. And then, you know, something comes up which reveals a secret of the past and begins this conversation in such a healthy way. That's what really struck me about the play, too. This couple is having such healthy communication about something that's very complex and challenging. And we have a real-life couple playing these two characters, Elle Borders and Brandon G. Green, and watching them do this last week, you know, we all fell in love with them, too. So just to be able to ride this roller coaster with these two people and rooting for them, wanting them to find their way through and hearing the argument through their love for one another. Ultimately, you know, we end with so much hope for the power of love. You know, they both are determined to figure this out with one another. And that's how I think we get through these complex arguments, is if that's the strategy that we utilize.
So I assume it's not required, but what is it like to have a real-life married couple doing the show?
Oh, those are always the best. Those are always the best, because I had another reading where a real couple did it. And I just like, because the thing about it is, like, at the very beginning of the play, there's so much love in it. And that's really one of the best parts I really love about the play. And so to see real life people, I can't wait. I haven't seen the production yet, but I can't wait to see what they bring to it, because that just always adds a different dynamic to see real people in love play this particular part and how they navigate these ups and downs in the conversation.
When did you write the play specifically?
I started writing the play in 2016. I don't know if you want to know like the journey of the play, of how it got out into the world, but I started writing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would like to hear about the journey, and also just because we were it was so near and yet so far away that time.
Yeah. So I started writing the play in 2016. It actually was prior to the Me Too movement becoming like a national movement.
Right.
And it was done at a small production in Chicago. They helped me develop the play. They did a reading of the play, and then they said they wanted to do it. And it was done at a small theater production in Chicago in 2018. And I remember, like, even though this was a smaller theater, it was like a 60-seat theater, like so many people from Chicago like came out to support it. Every night it was sold out houses, even the mayor of Chicago at the time, Rahm Emanuel, he came to see this particular play. And New York found out about it, and they were like, we want to come see it. This theater in New York, this great off-Broadway theater in New York called MCC, they came down, they saw it, and they were like, we want to do it off-Broadway. And so it transferred off-Broadway in 2019 and had a really wonderful run there. And and that's how most people came to find out about this particular story.
So how has our reckoning with this issue has changed somewhat, hopefully more than somewhat, and yet it continues. It continues, the conversation continues, and the stories continue, and we confront these issues. So how does it, it must have a flexibility to remain relevant through all of those ups and downs.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I guess like the unfortunate part of, about writing things like this is that you always find out that they continue to be relevant, which is quite sad. Like I remember even in the course of last year in the pandemic, when George Floyd was killed and stuff like that, like people were like, I remember wondering, like, I wonder if the play is still relevant now that the issues are sort of changing and we're sort of coming to this reckoning with the Me Too issue. And then a young woman named Toyin died, and she was killed. She was an activist, and she was also killed and sexually assaulted. And I remember a young woman had tweeted, and she was like, seeing Toyin die after she fought for Black lives reminds me of Loy Webb's The Light. And I was just like, wow, like this play continues to be relevant. I hope one day that it isn't relevant, though, that we can really come to a reckoning where all women feel heard and appreciated and that this isn't an issue anymore.
Kristen, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I completely agree. And what one something that Loy had said to me, which has really stayed with me, is the reaction of men to the play, of them coming and mm-hmm. coming up to her after, really mm-hmm. thanking her for opening their eyes to a perspective that they hadn't considered, and weeping. And I don't know, Loy, if you want to share a little bit about that, but that feels like such a powerful, important part of this play as well.
I want to hear about the weeping yeah. man, Loy.
Yeah. I mean, I think I was really surprised. I was really surprised because for me, the joy was not actually watching the play, but watching the audience.
Yeah.
Because the reactions were just crazy. And I remember, like, in Chicago and New York, like, grown men would come up to me crying, like, thank you for, like, opening my eyes to a different perspective. And I feel like one of the most moving responses I ever got was a young woman who worked at the theater in New York. She ran like the education part of the program, and she sent me a text from a young mother of a young boy, who a 17-year-old boy that was there, and she said, the text said that Loy has changed my son's life. I think for seeing this play, she has made him a better person.
Oh, wow.
And for me, those are the things that, you know, like, make me so proud to do this piece, that I can, you know, not only put women's stories out there and have the full breadth of their argument, but also teach men, hey, you need to do better for the women that are around you, that aren't just your family, but also women that you come in contact with in everyday life and the ones you know and don't know.
Such important work, and such a pleasure that it is out there and that WAM is presenting it. WAM Theater presents the virtual reading of the new play, The Light, by Loy Webb. It is available to stream through Sunday, May 2nd. Loy Webb and Kristen Van Genhoven, I thank you both for being with us. What a delight. Be well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
WAMTheater.org
for more information.